So I want to talk about intimacy, and I want to talk about something, and I think this is a very important message, and I really would like to get it across, if I may. So if you could look at your piece of paper that I just handed out, looking on the front that says discerning levels of friendship. Discerning levels of friendship. Did everybody get one? Did we miss anybody? Thanks, girls. Okay, let's go from the top. We see if there are levels of friendship and distinguishing characteristics. So one, acquaintance. Somebody say acquaintance. It's a word that I don't particularly want to define, but it's based on occasional contacts. Of course, a guy with my personality has many acquaintances because I talk to everybody if they don't move fast enough. And so therefore, no matter where I go, whether it's in the store, whether it's at the gym, whether it's anywhere, to be honest, at the bank, you know, people for some reason normally don't forget me in a hurry. I can't figure it out yet. But so anyway, so those acquaintances, we have many of those. They could be people at your work. They could be your neighbors. You might not know their name, but you see their face again and again and again. And the fruit of that relationship, or the, let me say, the guidelines of that relationship, as you can see on the right, are based are the freedom to ask general questions. It's like at the gym, you know, I look for the biggest guy in the gym, and the first thing I walk up to him and say, so how long is it going to take me to look like you? So, you know, and that's normally a good opener and things like that, and especially when the guy's got arms like hams. So, you know, we begin to talk and we become friends because you always make friends with the big guys, you know. So anyway, so that's what we did. And but that their acquaintances, and, you know, if I never see him again, he never sees me again. That was it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, next level quickly. Casual friendship. This, again, could be because you like the same sports team. You know, you're Mets fans or... Mets fans? No, you're Yankees fans or you know, my son's here, so we have to go to the Yankees today, guys. Sorry. So, you know, you may be, or you may go to the same church. And I'm saying that because a lot of people that go to church never get past a casual relationship with people in the same church. Now, of course, our church, because we hang around downstairs for like an hour, we're always hanging around doing outreach and hanging around doing work days and hanging around doing Silver Saints and hanging around. It's very difficult just to have a casual relationship if you're going to hang around that much with each other. So I want to encourage you that maybe you'll have these kind of relationships with people at work, but they're not very deep. They're very surface. People leave work and they move on. But I just want to say this, you know, what is a guideline for the casual friendship? Freedom to ask specific questions, opinions, ideas, dreams, and maybe goals. One of the first things I like to ask people when I know them is, you know, what's your plan? Where are you going? What we say this especially to young people, and in fact, sometimes they're the only ones. It's interesting how we ask youngsters and teenagers all the time, what are you going to do when you leave school? You know, and then it's always asking them on some kind of work-orientated or professional level, but never normally asked on an intimate level. And I want to say this, most of us get stuck on level two friendships. A lot of people never get past level two friendships. So let's move on to see what level three. Let's go back to number one, acquaintance. There's one thing I left out there that we sometimes have an acquaintance relationship with, and that's this guy called Jesus. A lot of people, Jesus is only their acquaintance. They see him occasionally and they wave, you know, and they ask general questions. Oh, will you bless me, Lord? You know, general things like that. But then some people, oh yeah, you'd be amazed. I'm a pastor. I know there's a lot of people who have only got Jesus as an acquaintance. And then, of course, there's casual friendship where, you know, they kind of ask in Jesus, well, oh, whatever you want for my life, Lord, and generalities like that. But it's not really the friendship that Jesus is looking for with you. We'll get there. Bear with me. Number three, friendship and fellowship based on mutual life goals. Based on mutual life goals. This, of course, you should be now, we're talking about the relationship with your wife, with your children, and should be with your church. In discovering what is the life goal of the church? And if I know the life goal of the church, can I fit into that life goal? If not, then please find some other church, and there's wonderful churches in our area, that you do fit into the life goal. Because the life goal of this church, as I already said, is outward focused, and we want to make sure we make a difference in our community, building a community of compassion and character. The character being the hard part. So let me say that again. Friends, friendship and fellowship, level three. Now, this is where a lot of us go wrong with our children. Can I just touch on this thought a moment? Are you a friend with your children? Now, you'll probably say, oh, yeah, my children are my friends. I want to say pretty much, no, they're not. No, they're not. You know, you keep telling them what to do. You see, your relationship with your child is a level four relationship. You keep telling them what to do, what to develop the character, what they should be doing in life, and therefore. And their relationship with you is just casual. Is anybody listening this morning? Their relationship with you is, yeah, but I don't like your life. I don't want to be like you. Do you ever think about that? I think about it all the time. You surmise they want your life. And they look at you and they think, well, where are they going? They keep asking me where I'm going. I wish they'd show me where they're going. Is this too much? Should I change the subject? Can you hear what I'm saying this morning? And so therefore, we begin to nag the children, but they don't have the same relationship with us that we have with them. And this is why when girls hit about 12 and guys hit about 13 or 14, they go, nah, which is all they hear about your voice. Because you have jumped to a conclusion that you're a level four friend. And you might not be. So therefore, I want to say this. How about your wife? Do you have a level four friendship with your wife? Do you have a level four friendship with your husband? Now, as a pastor, I need to tell you, the majority of people do not have a level four relationship with their spouse. The majority of Christians. Let's look at the level four quickly. Intimate friendship and fellowship. This is something we should have with our children. We should have with our friends. We should have with our spouses. We should have with our church. And we should have with Jesus. In the other order. And so what is it? It's based on a commitment to the development of each other's character and dreams. You see, that and B is the freedom to correct each other. The freedom to correct each other. This is what I'm talking about. You see, we as parents have that level four relationship with our kids, but our kids look at you as a casual acquaintance. You keep buzzing in and out of their lives and annoying them. Come on, especially when they're in that age, you know, when they're in that age. And then, of course, we begin to communicate with them our visions and our dreams that died in the 70s anyway. And so, therefore, they're going, what are you talking about? It's like the Geico advert, the guy with the big fro, you know. You survived the 70s, you deserve a good insurance. And so, the thing is, you know, if you survived the 60s and 70s, you really think you know what you're talking about? I often wonder about myself. Man, they were tough days. Okay. Before we go any further, keep that in your hand. Let's go to John 15. John 15. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the chair in front of you. I'd encourage you to begin to bring your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, please take that one in the chair in front of you. Take it home. It's there for you to take home so you can read it anytime you wish. John 15, I think I'll begin, verse 11. Somebody say, I'm there. Okay. Jesus, talking to his disciples, in fact, he's only talking to 12 men. He's only talking to 12 men. And he says this, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Do you see the effect here? We need the joy. That my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Can somebody say greater love? Okay, most of us here, we're parents or we've been parented. And in that time, you ask any mother, any father, especially mothers in my opinion, would a mother lay down their life for their child? Most of the time, the answer would be yes. The mother would lay down their life for the child, probably a higher percentage than most fathers would, which is why we have so many absentee fathers. Does that make sense? Absentee fathers, to me, proves they don't have greater love. It proves that they're not willing to lay down their lives. But, you know, we don't have too many absentee mothers. There are some, don't get me wrong. So therefore, I commend you mothers, the fact that you often, and I've seen it so many times, lay down your life for a children, which is why the Bible doesn't use you as a reference. It says, greater love has no man than this, that they lay down their life for their friend. Not their own children. Not their own spouse. And let me say this, so I have to say this. We live in a culture that we have to acknowledge. Statistically speaking, you cannot convince me that spouses in this country will lay down their life for each other. Come and help me, folks. Statistics show me that divorce in the church is as high as divorce in the world. I'm not knocking divorce. You've all been through some painful experiences that I'm not judging. But I'm just saying the reality is, you know, can we guarantee we'll take a bullet for our spouse? Can we guarantee that? So therefore, I'd like to continue to just say, think about this for a little while. Think about it. That the Bible doesn't say greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his wife, that she lays down her life for a husband, that she lays down her life for her children, that he lays down his life for a chosen friend. Now, I want you to see this because it's extremely relevant to our relationship with God, that he lays down his life for a chosen friend. Let's go on with the text. If this is the first time you've heard me preach, welcome. Verse 14. Well, now let's go back to 13. Greater love. The subject is greater love. Has no one than this, that they lay down one's life for his friends or her friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You are my friends if. Now, I need to say this. Many Christians think they are Jesus' friend. And I need to tell you this, I think it's important. Jesus only ever called 12 people friend. God the Father only ever called Abraham friend. And he spoke to Moses as a friend. So let's call it two men. He never called Isaiah a friend, King David a friend, Solomon a friend, Elijah a friend. He never called Elisha a friend, he didn't call Jeremiah or the minor prophets friends. He called only Father Abraham a friend. It's the only person in the Bible. Trust me, you can look it up. So I want you to think about this because we've got to begin to think about friendship. Such a word we toss around, like the word love. Oh, I love my wife, I love my children, I love rugby. Same breath, same word. Definitely a different meaning. Believe me, I don't love rugby that much. Almost, but not that much. Curry, of course, that's another subject. But anyway, so therefore, let's not take this word friend and throw it in with the word love. Because if there isn't intimacy in the friendship, then it is a casual friendship. Remember the definition of intimacy is knowledge, long-term, something with some history behind it, something with, you know, that's what a friend is. Les and Mariana are old friends of mine. Les and I have had lots of fights because I'm English and he's Australian. You don't understand that. But anyway, so the reality is, especially if you've ever played rugby. But anyway, so I'm friends with all of Mariana's family, her whole family, her mother, her father, her brother. He's a wonderful friend. I don't see him very often, but he's an old friend that I can trust him anytime. If I call him up in a fix, even though I haven't seen him for 5 or 6 years, I know he would do what I ask him. He's an old level 3, level 4 friend. Why? Same goals. Same goals. I spoke to a good friend last night. He's a member of our core team. Many of you know him. In fact, I'll name him, Rich Caliendo. Rich Caliendo never played rugby. Rich Caliendo is indifferent about curry. He likes the Yankees. That's okay. We're getting good on that. Rich is a man who's been a professional in his teaching career, been very good at it, excellent at it. His approach to life is different to my approach to life. We really don't have much in common, except one thing, our goals. So we're friends. You see, you don't become my friend by sitting and watching rugby with me. It does help. You don't become my friend by eating curry with me. That's a good start. But you become a friend with me by having same goals as me. And if you don't have the same goals as me, we'll never get past a level 2 relationship. Does that make sense? Now, it doesn't mean to say to be my friend and have the same goals. You have to quit your job and go and travel around the world and have 5 children born in 5 continents and minister in 40 nations. No, it doesn't mean that. Because Pat and Pat, for instance, who runs Fan Squared Find a Need, Fill a Need, if he never leaves Kingston for the rest of his life, he's okay. Because Kingston, or this area, is what drives him and motivates him. And he loves the people of this community. He wants to do nothing else but the rest of his life serve those people. Me, I love the nations. I want to go to Zambia. I want to go to Tanzania. I want to go to Mozambique. I want to go to Brazil. I want to go back to India. Pat says, whatever. Although Pat and I one day will go to Ireland together, because that is too much fun to give up. I promise you, we will one day stand up and say, would you be like to giving us a little money? Because me and him, we're going to Ireland. So anyway, now that would be fun. Can you imagine me and Pat in Ireland? Oh, come on. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Yeah, you want to be? Everyone would say, yeah, and don't come back. But anyway. But you see, what Pat and I have got in common is a cause, a purpose. You see what I'm saying? Remember when King David stood up against Goliath? What do you think he was so brave? No, it wasn't the fact that he stood up against Goliath. It was the fact that he said, isn't there a cause? Isn't there a purpose? Isn't there something we're supposed to be doing here, Israel? You see, and it was his heart. And it doesn't matter whether you're a fighter, whether you're a pugilist, or whether you're a pacifist. It doesn't matter what kind of person you are, whether you're highly intelligent and therefore want to do nothing but write the rest of your life, or you just want to do the websites for the rest of your life, or you want to serve the people at the yard sale for the rest of your life, or you want to make coffee for the rest of your life. The reality is you know you're going to do it for the rest of your life. You know that there's a determination inside of you. It doesn't matter what level ministry you're at, but you know there's nothing going to deter you from fulfilling your purpose in life. Do you understand what I mean? That's what makes us friends. Because if you're that determined, when you and I have an argument, you and I are going to sort it out.
Did I just get loud?
Actually, I didn't. That wasn't loud. You want to hear loud? No, don't hear loud. You get my drift? Now, I've been planning this message for weeks, as you know. You know, that's why we plan ahead. My messages are prepared up till November, by the way. It's good planning, buddy. But I want to go over it again. Friends, let's get back to the text. Verse 14. All right, 13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. Can you see this? It's plain enough, I believe. I've called you friends, for all things I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. I want you to know this. If you're not a friend of God, he's not going to reveal himself to you in his fullness. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, friend. You see how friendship is a choice? Friendship is a choice. And this is one thing that when we talk about level 3 and 4 friendships, you need to choose it. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that that fruit may remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Thank you. That's enough on the screen. Okay, let's try and sum this up a little more. I need you to ask yourself this question. Who is your level 4 friend in life? A young couple came to me this year. They hadn't been married 2 years yet. And they said this, and I want you to hear this because I think this is very relevant. They said, we don't feel like we're soulmates. I said, you're not. And they looked, I wasn't judging. I was just telling them a fact. You're not a soulmate. You're not old enough yet. You haven't been through enough rubbish together yet. You haven't been enough through fights together yet. You haven't been through enough disasters together yet. You haven't been through enough storms together yet. So you're not a soulmate. People get married and sometimes they ain't much more than a level 2 friend. Some people get married, they don't even discuss their life goals. They don't even discuss the call of God on their life. And this is where so many marriages, oh, it take me. There's nothing on this planet I'd rather do than preach in the nations of the world. And there I go and marry a woman that doesn't want to leave Kingston. I'm going to have problems, right? Both saved, both love God, both read the word, different goals. Different vision cannot become level 4 friends. Is this just make sense? Take Sharon. She's determined to make a difference in this community about these poor young girls, many of them abandoned by weak men who won't stand up and take responsibility, many of them abandoned by parents who reject them, many of them just deceived into getting pregnant, and they're scared and they're frightened and they're alone, and you know what they want? They need a friend. And they need somebody to help and care and look after them and say, we will help you, we will care you, we will love you. And this is what life's all about. I want to tell you something now, and take this whatever way. I believe I am saying this by the authority of God. If you do not have level 4 friends, you will never understand or become like Jesus as he designed us to become like him. Look at Paul and Barnabas. They obviously never had a level 4 friendship. They probably worked together, but as soon as a push came to a shove and there was an argument, Barnabas quit. You see what I'm saying? Mike and Michelle, they need to move on to another church, to another place. So they come to me, somebody they've known for years, and say, Vaughn, this is what's going on in life, this is what we think, and we say, great. Now, our friendship it's actually probably gone up a notch. Can you hear what I'm saying? Because of the strength of the responsibility of the communication that brings us to a whole nother place in our lives. And I want to say this. I said this a lot last night. Remember the other, I spoke to a few people in our church about the fact that I need to take a longer break, a bit of a vacation or a sabbatical, whatever you call it. And so after I shared it with a man came to me last Saturday night with a look in his eyes that nearly scared me. And I don't scare too easy. He looked me in the eye and he said, Vaughn, he shook. Do you know what? I don't even remember what he said. He was encouraging me. I forget what he said, but he was encouraging me. But I saw something in his eyes. And you know, it took me 3 days before I figured out what I saw in his eyes. What I saw in his eyes was the eyes of Jesus after the resurrection, which were not the dove's eyes, which most people who have a casual friendship with Jesus see. They were the eyes of fire that John the Revelator saw on the Isle of Patmos when Jesus stood up, not as a Jewish carpenter, but his hair was like wool, his feet were like brass, and his eyes were like fire. That is the Jesus of a level 4 friendship. Was that strong for a Sunday morning? Can you hear what I'm saying? And if you have a casual relationship with Jesus, he loves you. You're going to heaven. Don't worry about it. Praise God. But you will never move into the place of strength and maturity that Jesus died for so that you can see those eyes that you cannot but serve for the rest of your life. Yeah. Now, I have that, Rich, leave the room. I was talking about you. You can't come in now. Come on in, mate. He's been preaching somewhere else. Good to see you, bro. Why do you think the Bible says a brother is made for adversity? How many times, girls as well, you fought with your brothers and sisters? I mean, growing up, if you didn't fight with your brother and sister growing up, there's something seriously wrong with you. Like you've got no oomph or something. It was a polite way of putting it. It's not what I was thinking. You fought with your brothers and sisters, right? Why do you think the book of Proverbs says, but there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother? That's why the Bible says a friend loves at all times, even when he's mad at you. And this is what, I've got to say this, is what our country is lacking. Because when a push comes to a shove, and that you, let's face it, our nation is built on independent people. It's like herding cats. I wish the Bible had said something about that. You know, you got your sheep and your goats and cats in America. It's like herding cats because everybody's independent, and then you come to a place in your life where your independence is challenged. And then you make a decision whether to break through it because somebody cares about your character, or you back off and quit, which is what, in my experience, most men have done in our nation. The reason why the church is weak is because when men get offended, they leave without saying anything. That, I'm sorry, I can't say anything else, is a sign of weakness. Okay, that's not the point. Let's turn over quickly and try and wrap this up. 10 tips on friendship. 1, the more arguments you win, the fewer friends you'll have. 2, you can win more friends with your ears than your mouth. 3, you'll never have a friend if you have to have one without fault. 4, when a friend makes a mistake, don't rub it in, rub it out. That's a beaut, isn't it? People who can hold their tongues rarely have any trouble holding their friends. A real friend warms you by their presence, trusts you with their secrets, and remembers you in their prayers. 7, a friend will strengthen you with their prayers, bless you with their love, and encourage you with their hope. 8, a loyal friend is someone who sticks up for you even when you're not there. In other words, they won't gossip about you. Whee! By the way, gossip in the church is actually spiritual terrorism. You are no better than Obama bin Laden if you are a gossip. It's Sunday. Him as well. Let me go over that one again. 8. A loyal friend is someone who sticks up for you even when you're not there. I will say it again with all sincerity. Sorry if I offended someone by that. I didn't mean to get political or anything. That wasn't my intention. Just, yeah, it's Vaughanisms. And I have a lot of them. And some of them ain't that clever. So, Jesus. Gossip is terrorism. It tears the church to pieces. 9. The best antique is an old friend. And 10. The best recipe for making friends is to be one yourself. Okay, I'm going to use my son here because I trust his arm. Paulie, stand up and catch. Okay, you see what that is in his hand? It's a softball, which is a game I never played in my life. And unlike Englishmen that play cricket and don't need such wussy accomplishments like mitts, gloves, whatever you call it, if I was an itch, man. Oh. Sorry. Just a thought. I don't know. Sorry, you started me now. The reason I love this mitt is it's really, like, this is supposed to be in the side of it, by the way, this piece. And you may witness that it's pretty badly torn around here, wouldn't you say? You know the thing about mitts? You know, help me, guys. I never wrote, I don't know what this was. Growing up 25 years in England, didn't get to England until I was America until I was in my 30s. So I thought, what's that? But you guys know what these are, right? Am I right? Did you have one of these growing up? You put the ball in it and tied it up and put it under your mattress. And then during the game, you went, ah! Do you ever do that? And you go, ah! Duh! That's why they're like friends. Did you hear what I just said? Because sometimes that's what having friends is like. You just want to kick them around the dust. They just made you mad. No? Well, if you're a critter, of course, you just like walk away from them. But I know that, you know, I wonder how many times this has been left out in the rain. Couldn't find it for 3 weeks and then found it in the yard somewhere, you know? That's what makes it what it is. That's what makes it what it is, something that's very soft but very tough. You can't be a friend if you're not tough. Can you hear me? You can't be a friend if you're not tough. Now, the difference between hard and tough is if I took that softball and threw it at a pane of glass, the glass would shatter. You know, I make too many casual remarks, and I'm sorry about that, but it's very hard after 59 years to get out of the habit, but I'm working on it. I am. But, you know, casual comments, and if you're just brittle like a piece of glass, you just shatter, maybe because you've never really decided to go past a level 2 relationship. Therefore, you haven't toughened up yet. Because I want to tell you something. Until you are in a level 4 relationship, you cannot be like Jesus. Good Christian, but you can't actually be, because Jesus said, okay, it's taken me 3.5 years and I got 11 friends. Can you hear me? I've got 11 level 4 friends. And for you guys, I'm going to lay down my life. And I'm going to die for you. Because in the same text, he said, I don't pray for you alone, but for everyone who believed through your word. If it wasn't for those tough friends of Jesus, we wouldn't be believers. Can you hear that? Now, there's a guy going to throw a baseball at me, a softball. Paulie, I trust you, son. Light's bad. Give it your best. Not your best, your easiest. Thank you. We'll try it again in a minute. Paul, hold this. You see that young guy? Stand up a minute so I can get a good look at you. Right, well, how old were you, son, on that tractor incident? You remember? 8, 7? About 8. Okay. Thanks, son. When that young man was 8 years old, he was on the side of the tractor with me and my daughter Sarah was on the other side. and it was a little damp, there was raining a bit, and the dog got loose, and I said, Paul, go get the dog. He jumped off the tractor, slipped, and I ran him over. It was probably the most sick feeling in my life. I leapt off the tractor yelling, Sarah, get your mother. And so Sarah ran, got my mother. I leapt on my son who was screaming. I hugged him as hard as I could, and I began to pray in tongues. If you don't know what that is, it's a way to pray when you don't know how to pray. And I held him and held him, and my mother came running. I said, whatever you do, don't say anything negative. Just. And we prayed, and I picked him up, and I carried him in, and I put him on the couch. And he was in agony. And we kept praying, and after about 15 minutes, it all calmed down, and it began to. And about 20 minutes later, he was at peace, and if I remember, he began to sleep. And the next day, he stood up in church, 8 years old, and testified how Jesus had healed him. And I'm saying that because if you've ever known that feeling, then you need to understand what the Bible says in Isaiah 53, when it said it pleased God to crush his son for you, so that you can become his friends. And if I'm determined to become that level 4 friend of Jesus, because it took him more than just running over his son with a tractor. He beat him. He crushed him. He broke him. He poured sin of the world upon him so that you and I could be free and friends of God like our father Abraham. So that's what I want to get across. A serious word, you better believe it. Why do I think that? Because I believe our nation is in jeopardy, and the only thing that's going to change it is Christians who know how to be friends. Last one. So the baseball mitt's like an old friend. You throw a baseball, a softball at a pane of glass, it shatters. Throw it again, son. You throw it at an old friend, ha, easy, I caught that, and I let it go. Because I love my friends. They make me mad, you better believe they make me mad. I yell at them, you better believe I yell at them. You yell at me, you better believe they yell at me. Ask Lisa, she's laughing. Stop laughing, Lisa, I'm being serious. Or I might fire you. Quiet, Alice Wilson. I can't fire you. Did you see what I just said? You catch the offense? No, you don't throw it back like some other game. You drop it. If you're in a level 4 friend, remember this. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for friends. I want to thank you, Lord, that you, according to Isaiah 53, crushed your own son so that you would give every one of us here an opportunity to become your friend if we keep the commandments. So, Father, I bless you and I thank you and I glorify you. And, Lord, this week, I just pray that everybody here considers who are their level 3 and level 4 friends. Let them think about who are their level 3 and level 4 friends. And if they don't have one, then I pray we can walk together until we develop that absolute necessity in our life. Let's all stand together and make one confession. Let's all say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the gift of Jesus. And I thank you that he died for me, that he was beaten, he was condemned, he took my sin to set me free. I thank you, Lord. I want to get on the path of being your friend and having friends in this earth. And I will be determined to see it through. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.